Listening to the Naked Scientist. Now, it's been a while since we've had an update on the world of technology, so it's time to join our resident expert, Chris Vallance, for a summary of what's been going on over the summer, as well as an insight into the social effects of the technology boom in India.
Well, it has been a while since we spoke, and in the intervening months, I think there were two events which, for me, highlighted the way that technology is changing, and I think we should talk about. You'd have to have been hiding under a rock to miss the first one. That's the 40th anniversary of the Apollo moon landings. Obviously, the Apollo landing is important for technology. You see early uses of things like integrated circuits, fuel cells. Obviously, people debate and discuss the contribution to technology that those landings made. But certainly events that are very important for people with an interest in space and the technologies surrounding it. And we fast forward to September, and we have the announcement that one of the new countries to enter into space exploration, India, the Indian Chandrayaan probe, had discovered evidence of water on the moon. Now, it's interesting for us to talk about India at the moment because obviously everybody hears about the Indian tech boom and what that means for the country. A lot of it focused around the city of Bangalore. One of my colleagues has just been there, Jamila Knowles, who's been looking at what this most tech-enabled of Indian cities can say about how technology is changing the social relations in India between the haves and the have-nots. Obviously a country where there is still a great gulf between those two groups. What did you find?
I found things that you would probably expect if you start reading about Bangalore, that the area of poverty, the population is huge in comparison with those who are employed, say. And also that there are huge areas throughout the city of migrant workers living in slums, basically building glass shiny edifices to technology that we use. So it's quite stark. But it's something that's been happening for the last decade or so. So it's looking more at the kind of politics and the consciousness of people who are in Bangalore as a city. I went across to the Centre for Internet and Society and spoke to Nishant Shah, who's the Director of Research. And he was talking about a sort of a feeling and a consciousness generally of people having a relationship with the internet. And that would be even people who have never even used a computer.
So the case study in Ahmedabad, which is where the people who were living in slums on the riverfront, on the Sabarmati riverfront, are now demolishing their own houses and are being employed by the state to do that in order to build an IT skyline for the city. There is no resentment amongst the people. There seems to be no protest initiated by civil society organizations. And when you kind of talk to the people, they keep on telling you it's because of that internet. And they've never seen a computer and they've never been online and they don't know what the internet is about. But they imagine themselves as having access to the internet by building this particular kind of infrastructure. These are the invisible people of the IT story. These are people we no longer talk about. We always talk about either people in call centers or in back processing offices or offshore development centers or, you know, startups who are working on technology. People who are visible and who have a voice and who are so quintessentially a part of technology, that we forget that there is an entire support system which is also defined by internet technologies in India. And then we start talking about IT cities and IT parks and so on. There are these people who are aspirationally or experientially a part of the internet paradigm, but not the technology.
So that's fascinating. So people who are the very poorest people in Bangalore, completely separate from the tech boom, have this idea of the internet, but they've never actually used it.
It's almost as though it's in the air. It's everyone from auto rickshaw drivers, from children in schools that are really in need. You know, these are kids who live with parents who move around the city looking for work as labourers and often suffering from, you know, skin conditions, from malnutrition. But they understand, they know why their city is changing.
Is the internet benefiting these people in any way, apart from the economic benefits?
Whether they're getting direct benefits from the internet is difficult to say. Some of the online companies will say yes, because they will go to rural areas and show local people or farmers, here's the internet, it's great. But essentially they'll put it on a bus, which will then drive away again. So it's quite difficult to see that. But going back to things like education, which seems to be underpinning their hopes for improvement, they are doing things like sourcing information online in educational centres, then burning CDs, which become educational supplements for teachers in rural areas, because they may not have the skills in, say, sciences or mathematics that maybe teachers who are in urban areas do, so they can actually record a lesson and send it out and supplement that with information that they found online.
Did you get a sense there were almost two cities, the bright, shiny new city, and there was the older city of people who didn't have access to the technology.
Definitely. And the thing is, it's quite often the migrant workers from other states who don't have the access. Local people in Bangalore have a slightly different argument with the fact that basically they've been overrun with people from all over the world and all over the country, thinking of Bangalore as one of the places that might be paved with gold when it comes to employment. And instead, there's a great deal of unemployment, and it's happening to them as well because their population's just exploded. And they're not necessarily trained up to go and work in IT support, to go and work in a call centre, to go and work as a developer or a coder. I mean, that's far beyond the ken of many of the people who live there.
Yes, India really is an amazing place when it comes to IT, isn't it? That was our resident technology expert, Chris Vallance, giving us an update on all things technological.
He was, of course, talking to the BBC's news journalist, who is Jamila Knowles. And I have to say, the pace of change with, you know, outsourcing to India and all this kind of thing, it's just amazing, the amount of work that's actually going there. I know of people who are sending medical work to India because they, instead of employing a secretary here to type things up the next day, they send all their clinic notes to India overnight because of the time difference. They come in the morning and the work is all done. It's come back to them on the internet. Incredible stuff.